Blog Talk Radio.
You, what's poppin', my niggas? PSA motherfucking podcast. Salutations to all. Please go check out my Black Thought thing that I did early today. Hold on 1 second. Check out the Midwest Movement talk that we had going on today with Norbs. Daylight called up. X Factor called up. It's a great show. But let me get my bro right up in the joint right now. Fam, what's good, my G?
Salute, brother. How you doing?
How you, brother?
I'm chilling.
Fam, let's just get right into this shit, man. Black Thought Freestyle on Hot 97 was trending. People were going in hysteria. The God Tariq has reached Hot 97 and blessed us with his lyrical graces. What do you think about the Black Thought Freestyle?
I thought the Black Thought Freestyle was amazing. I thought it was so fucking incredible that it made me realize how much I love hip hop and why I love hip hop. Everything Black Thought did in his freestyle was my definition of what hip hop means to me. If someone said, define hip hop to you, show me who you listen to, or show me what you consider a lyrical rapper. Right. And I could say right now in 2017, this is what I consider lyricism. This is what lyricism is. He's not talking about killing niggas. He's not talking about selling krills. He's not talking about trapping. Right. He's just rhyming. To quote whole lyrical exercise, to quote Raekwon, verbal intercourse. This is what he did. And it was fantastic. And what I loved about it is that it highlighted something me and you, Dre, have known for the last 22 years. Black Thought is and has always been this nice.
Let me ask you a question right quick. Why is, and you know, it's funny because I thought about you yesterday because I know how much of a Black Thought, how much you and I rock with Black Thought, but people are just acting out, discovering, to my opinion, that like it's an epiphany that, oh my shit, oh God, Black Thought is nice. Like, where'd this come from? Like, niggas are acting surprised. Michael Smith said it's the greatest freestyle ever. We'll get into that in a minute. But are people acting like brand new, or is like they just, it was just a fire freestyle, and you have to acknowledge it. You can't front on it. You can't deny it.
Well, first of all, because of the 10-minute-long freestyle, and he never stopped, Flex also highlighted
And he was on point.
And Flex also highlighted he's not doing 50 takes like the rest of you niggas. So let's be clear. Let's talk about this if this was battle rap. Mook always talks about 5-minute rounds. I mean, this man rapped for 10 minutes straight, man. I mean, it was incredible because the wordplay, Black Thought, my brother.
The rhyme scheme, breath control, the pronunciation, and like you just said, the wordplay, was on full display, man.
It was on full display. And now, last year, Black Thought did a song with Royce da 5'9" called Rap on Steroids. This song was incredible. It was
No one's going to talk about it but me and you, though.
It was one of my favorite songs last year. I tweeted Black Thought on Twitter. Black Thought, my God, that was an amazing song. Black Thought immediately tweeted back, I appreciate it, bro. I tweeted Royce da 5'9" and got no response. Of course, I got zero response.
Which is typical,
because Royce will not have a hip-hop discussion with anybody online. Because
boxing.
In his mind, he's like Charlamagne the God.
You got to talk boxing, though, fam. You know that. You're talking boxing, you get a response, my G.
So here's the thing about the Black Thought freestyle. Let's talk about the state of hip-hop right now as we speak to understand why Black Thought is trending. If you look on the top songs in hip-hop right now, you got this white boy who's 15 years old, and he has a song called Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang. That's considered hip-hop. The stuff Post Malone does is considered hip-hop, even though it's like sing-song hip-hop. If you look at these guys who are the face of hip-hop today, modern-day hip-hop, quote-unquote mumble rap, and then you compare it to what Black Thought just did, it really reminds
comparison.
You of how
no comparison.
Great, it really reminds you of how great hip hop can be or what it used to be. So when all you guys say, yo, you and three, y'all some 40-year-old old head niggas. Well,
right.
Black Thought is my age. Black Thought is
yep.
my age. Okay, that's the era. That's the Biggie era, the Busta Rhymes era. That's the
Facts.
Nas era. That's the era we come from.
Yo.
You had to rap.
This man said, and I had to look this up, fam. This nigga said, I'm stronger than the coffee out in Kaffa. I didn't even know what Kaffa is until I had to do a Google search. I just wanted to, because I'm reading, listening to his rhymes. Kaffa is a fucking small city in Ethiopia. I'm like, it's like I had to get a dictionary for some of this shit this nigga's talking about. The nigga said, I ain't one of y'all peers. I'm the sum of your all fears. Somebody stranger than me. Who that? I'm all in ears like Obama. I wish he had another 4 years. He said some old fly shit like that. Like,
that,
he got it the youngest. And real quick, DJ Vlad, my nigga, you had the nerve to say a while ago that Black Thought is not a top lyricist, my nigga. Kill yourself. The fuck are you
not
talking
only,
about, bro?
Not only kill yourself, but let's give kudos. So one of my first shows with you, we had Joe Budden on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Budden said he's the best all-around lyricist. Nobody does it better than him. So, of course, you know, I could never agree with that because I've been listening to hip-hop too long. So I started throwing names out there. I threw out Common. I threw out Talib Kweli. And he was defiant in saying he was better than them. The third name I mentioned was Black Thought. And it stopped Joe Budden dead in his tracks. You've never heard Joe Budden literally stop in his tracks. But what in that 10-minute freestyle was with Joe Budden.
Right.
With
you gotta give it up.
And what you have known. Black Thought has been this nice for over 22 years. Now, I know you guys are thinking, wow, this is incredible what we've heard. Guys, let me tell y'all, Black Thought has been rhyming like this since Nas came out with It Was Written. Black Thought
for
has
real?
Been rhyming like
that
this
is 96.
Since Reasonable Doubt. Since Reasonable Doubt, and this is a fact. The year Reasonable Doubt came out.
Super fact.
The Roots came out with Illadelph Half-Life. Let me explain something to y'all.
Clones, man.
Wow. Black Thought verses on that album are some of the greatest
top-notch.
Verses in hip-hop history.
Top-notch.
And the Black Thought you heard on this 10-minute freestyle is the same exact Black Thought from 1996. For whatever the reason is, a lot of you guys, like Michael Smith, who's an older brother, really act like you didn't know this was who Black Thought was.
Hey.
I mean, we could potentially turn this into a Black Thought appreciation just so
of
you
course,
guys can understand how dope he is. Okay?
And Sean, let's be real, my nigga. Some niggas some niggas can rap for 10 minutes and lose you. Me and you are working, man, 9 to 5 niggas. We start worrying about what we got to do to work tomorrow. You know, like, other shit goes to your mind when a nigga spend for 10 minutes and he loses you. Now, I know you're not too big on the Mobb Deep Burn beat, but I gotta say, man, Prodigy is in the heavens right now, smiling at Black Thought, my nigga.
Absolutely. You know, Beanie Sigel, when Beanie Sigel first came out, y'all, one of the first places y'all ever heard Beanie Sigel on wax was on a song called Adrenaline, off of the Roots Things Apart album. And
y'all niggas don't know about that. He wasn't there.
Beanie killed it, but so did Black Thought. If you ever ask Beanie Sigel, what do you think about Black Thought? He would say Black Thought is the greatest lyricist. Like, he understands. Like, Philly MCs understand
Word.
What he means to rapping. You know who else understands? All the veterans, all the greats. G-Rap understands.
Mm-hmm.
Hov understands.
Let's be real, my nigga. Black Thought is 2 for 2. The Sway freestyle with Method Man and the follow this with Flex. I think people are more... what's the best word to use there? Feeling the freestyle a little more.
They're more aware of an MC that me and you have followed and fucked with heavy since their first album in 94, which was kind of weird to us because it was all live instruments. And remember, we was like, yo, this is kind of too experimental.
Little, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I remember they showed the video and all that, and I was like, this is not working.
Rap City, yep.
You know what I'm saying? Remember? And they used to always play the videos, and I was like, alright, but I really wasn't feeling it. But when Illadelph Half-Life came, and they started producing beats, and they started rock, I understood. So, to a lot of you people who, so this is a question I want the comment boys. When you guys heard Lux rap, y'all were saying this was the greatest freestyle y'all ever heard. Y'all were saying nobody can come after Lux and do this. I was saying a lot of people can come on after Lux and do this. One of those, a lot of people, is Black Thought. In his mid-40s, from the 90s, I personally believe Black Thought outrhymed Loaded Lux. So, do you see the perspective that
happened? When you say,
all right. A lot of people.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, a lot of people, Loaded Lux is the pinnacle of lyricism. They just say, oh, he rhymes so this, he rhymes, and it throws y'all off. Well, now y'all have a clear-cut case. Listen to Lux freestyle and listen to Black Thought. They're both high level of lyricism. They're both going in. But tell me if you guys can see the difference. This is no debatable. You got to pick. Who freestyle was lyrically better? Who had more breath?
I'm going to go Black Thought. For me, I'm going to go Black Thought for the breath control, for the schemes, the pronunciation. I got to go to pronunciation again and riding the beat pause a little more. And I'm not battle rap fan. Slow down. Relax. Comment, boys. I'm not taking nothing away from Lux. But I got to go with Tariq, man. I got to go with the guard Tariq. For me, that's not taking nothing away from Lux. Slow down. I'm just saying, if I had to pick between the two, and I know y'all niggas hate when niggas do that. Oh, you trying to make it sound like Lux shit is garbage. No, we're not saying Lux shit was garbage. We both appreciate what Lux brought to the table. But I'm going to go Black Thought, man. I'm really going to go Black Thought.
So I just want to highlight a couple of songs by Black Thought just to let you guys understand how what y'all are hearing is not new. So when the Michael Smith says this is the greatest piece I've ever heard in his life, or when it's trending on Twitter and people are just like so shocked at how ill he is, I'm just going to name three quick off the top songs. I named one earlier, which was Rap on Steroids with him and Royce da 5'9". Go listen to his verse with Royce da 5'9". Just listen to it. And you'll be like, wow. I'll give you another song. It's a song off of the album Things Fall Apart. It's called The 100% Done. He's rhyming over
my
a
nigga.
Beatbox.
That.
He's rhyming over a beatbox.
Is that
right?
Rozelle?
That's probably Rozelle who's doing it. Who's doing
it? It's probably
Rozelle. He rhymed over.
Yo, my nigga, can I just jump in what my brother's saying right now? My niggas, this joint he's talking about, the beatboxing. I implore you niggas to go peep that. Please. Like, for real. Like, I think you niggas trust us when we talk about hip-hop, man. Please, this nigga is not lying at all.
So
that joint is dope as fuck.
So that song is 100% Dundee. And I'll just name two more. One is a posse cut called Clones. It has four people on it. It's a long song, but you just listen to his verse. Listen to what he's
saying. Let's be real, my nigga. Didn't Clones get them out of here?
Clones is a song. Here's what happened. This is how we do got them Grammy acclaimed because Eric Badu was on it. But the unfortunate part about the Roots and Black Thought, why Black Thought gets lost, because Black Thought, when he was the Black Thought me and you are talking about, it was the year it was written, Reasonable Doubt. Both Tupac albums came out and the Fugees came out. He was lost in that source. Like me and you,
bro,
he wasn't
hold on,
lost.
Biggie.
You know.
Right. But Big had to acknowledge him, though.
Like
the Roots, Damushu, Wack to me. Like, you know what I mean?
Nas was like, yo, Nas did an interview that year talking about, you know, Black Thought dissing us because they had a song called What They Do.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing the mansions of the
champagne popping.
And Nas was dissing him because of it. But they all know how nice he is. So the third song is off the album Illa Duff Half Life, and they have a video for it on
classic
YouTube.
Album.
Check it out. It's called Concerto of a Desperado, and it's a solo song. It's a solo song.
Man,
just listen
Jesus.
To eyes rhyming, and I'm telling you guys, there's no difference from the 10-minute freestyle to these two songs I highlighted.
There's no difference.
Rap on Steroids, 100% Dundee, Clones, and Concerto of a Desperado. And I'm going light on y'all. I'm just naming just straight up
that's light.
To highlight how Black
But that's
Thought
not really light, though, fam.
Like this.
That's not really light, though. Them joints mean something. And I'm going to throw another joint on there, man. I believe what album this was on, the Things Fall Apart album. The Roots featuring Common is Black Thought and Common, Act Two, Love of My Life. The back and forth with these two niggas, man, is just fucking amazing, man. I get goosebumps, pause every time I hear this track, man. It brings damn near tears to my eyes, my nigga. Like, for real. It's the essence of what hip-hop that I came up under, man. I just love that shit, man. And Black Thought is one of the most underrated MCs of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's one of the most underrated because Black Thought never conformed to style. He's just a straight-up dope MC. And this is where people will say, oh, you old motherfuckers, y'all don't get it. Well, here's the reality. Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang is a hip-hop song, and it's like the highest charted hip-hop song in rap right now.
Mm-hmm.
Compare this motherfucker to Black Thought. Compare any rap song this year as a lyricist. No, no disrespect to Kendrick. No disrespect to J. Cole. No disrespect to Big Sean, who just came out with his album with Metro Boomin. They can't rap with Black Thought. They can't. And I know everybody's like, Peter Rosenberg, Kendrick is the greatest rapper. Nobody can rap with him. When you say that to guys like me and Dre, we looking at y'all like, well,
facts.
You just see what I've been doing? This is what we be trying to tell you niggas, man. Like, lyricism been part of our whole lives, man.
Yep. That's super facts,
and
my nigga.
And Black Thought is one of the greatest. And by the way, let me just say this.
Huh?
Let me just say this right quick. Flex, really? People got to text you. People got to pitch you on Twitter, Instagram for you to get Black Thought to come
crazy
on your show.
That's
not
crazy,
you.
Flex.
You know. And you know why it's crazy? Because niggas had to text you, get on Instagram and Twitter for you to get the Griselda boys on there. For you to get Benny
that's
and Conway.
Real. That's real. Because I was killing you like every week, Flex. Or once a week I was tweeting you like, my nigga. But see, I can understand him being slow to the Griselda movement. But there's no reason. There's no excuse. Niggas should be hitting you on the jack, telling you you should get Black Thought on there, Flex. You came up under that era. We're all around the same fucking age, my nigga.
But here's
crazy.
The problem with it. Here's the problem with it. Flex is getting these guys after they do Sirius Radio, after they do Sway, or do one of those Sirius shows.
Yeah.
Then they
That's
get
true.
Them. It's like, Sway, you're clearly not on the pulse or the button on what's going on. You know, I think you want to make sure you know about Tekashi 9 and Gummo, and you want to stay on top of TNB Rock and all that. And you want to make sure you still getting with the youth. But if you're doing freestyle sessions, then come on, my G. You have to be aware of what's going on.
That's a must, for real.
So salute to Black Thought.
Yeah, man. Salute to Black Thought, for real, man. This turned into like a fucking Roots
Tariq.
Black Thought appreciation.
Tariq.
You know what I mean? Word. The God Tariq, man. Appreciation time, man. We're going to go to the 80s, man. I know some of you niggas, but we have to finish the 80s. You know, we gave y'all KRS, Rakim, Kane, G-Rap, Guru. We're missing a few other brothers in that time period. But I think there's one more guy that he has to be in this conversation. My nigga, I say Slick Rick the Ruler, Ricky D. You say what?
Now, here's a little something that needs to be heard. Doug, I was going downtown.
Going downtown. Buzz back. Word.
Slick Rick.
Oh, man.
In the decade from the mid-80s to the end of the 80s, had one of the biggest impacts in the history of hip-hop. His voice, his storytelling, his flow and delivery, his swag.
Swag, yeah.
You know.
Good. You know what?
Socks,
Goods.
Valley
you talk
shoes,
about swag.
Tango.
Goods, you talk about swag, but Slick Rick is the godfather of swag and hip-hop, man. He started that swag shit. We're going to keep it funky.
What, one of the all-time great moments, Yo MTV Raps, Fat Bob Freddy, is interviewing Slick Rick. And Slick Rick is jeweled up. Like, when it comes to jeweled up, when it comes to
He's one of the gods.
I mean, when it comes to gold teeth in their mouth, I mean, Slick Rick's influence and impact on 90s hip-hop is staggering.
Ask Snoop.
And his impact and his – ask Snoop.
And even though Snoop was an OG in the game, let's just ask Snoop.
Right.
Snoop's greatest album, the album that defines Snoop, the album that defines Snoop, he did Lottie Dottie Over. Just for you to understand the impact. The BX Stand Up from London, from England, but raised in the BX. My God, Slick Rick. So let's take it here. When did you think the first time you heard Lottie Dottie? What was your take on it?
It was different because my bigger cousins was playing that shit back to front. You know what I'm saying? And all I could think about is, and with your wrinkled pussy, I can't be your lover. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Like, you know what I'm saying? You talk about him and Dougie Fresh, Slick Rick. I mean, would you say they were a tandem? Because that's how it was presented to us. I mean, obviously, we didn't know. We didn't care at the time. But now that we're OGs now, can we look at them as a tandem at one particular time, or is just a song they did together?
Well, Slick Rick always stood out to me more than Dougie Fresh. Like, Dougie Fresh would be doing either beatbox or rhyming with him, but Slick Rick was clearly the one. So I played Lottie Dottie so much, my mother hated Slick Rick. The only thing she knew about Slick Rick was, "And with your wrinkled pussy, I can't be your lover." And she hated that me and my sister played that song nonstop. Now, to let you guys understand how real this was, there's no Rakim, Kane, Paris, or Chuck D yet. This is 85. So I hadn't heard them. They might have been out, but I'm saying I hadn't heard them yet.
Right.
Lottie Dottie was the essence of what hip-hop means to me today. Beatbox, rhyming, dropping it. That's the essence of hip-hop to me. And that's what that song was. Lottie Dottie, we like to party. We don't cause trouble. We don't bother nobody. This is 30
bother
years
nobody,
ago. I can say, talk about that whole song. This is wrong from
30
years
son,
ago.
Yeah, son. That was all. My nigga, that's junior high school walking in the hallway type shit, singing that
word
shit.
Up,
you know what I mean?
Up. I was not in high school yet. I was junior high school. Junior high school, and everybody knew it. I mean, my God. And this was, we still had boom boxes. So back in those days when hip-hop albums had covers, everybody be having a radio and shit, you know.
Word, that's
radio at the time, during that time.
Can't live without my radio.
Yeah, and Dave, all that. So Lottie Dottie was just, it was so ill. It was just pure hip-hop. Like, no sampling or nothing, just beatboxing and a nigga rhyming over the beatbox. That's how we rapped back in those days. Your man would beatbox and you would spit your lyrics. And Lottie Dottie was just one of those songs that should be in the Hall of Fame. It's a Hall of Fame song. It's a Mount Rushmore type of hip-hop song. Would you agree to that?
Super facts. That is super facts. Super
so
facts.
So then he did another song with Dougie Fresh called The Show.
Ah.
Yo, this
it was two
just,
for two, my nigga. At this point,
this is
they're
like,
two for two.
This is like hitting a grand slam and then hitting another grand slam in the same game. But it was different.
Yeah, that's like Aaron Judge and Stanton right now in the Yankees, my nigga. Fact.
Word up. 59 homers and 51 homers on the same team. Brand new Murderer's Row, Yankee style. It's that baseball talk for new historians. All right? The new Murderer's Row. The show was the shit. This was a party anthem. It was a party anthem. Sure, All Alone, No One to Be With, stepped on the D train, 205th. I saw a pretty girl, fuck out of this, she went wrong, she was tuned in the tiger. Yo, this nigga Slick Rick's flow was so sick.
Ew. Super
he just, he's like, yo, you know, he wasn't rhyming like the dudes from back in the days. He wasn't rhyming like the Cold Crush Brothers.
He
wasn't rhyming like Melly Mel, man. He was rhyming different.
Rapper's Delight and shit, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So basically, you know what though? Basically, you got Run DMC, you got UTFO, Fat Boys, Biz, Slick Rick, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the LL comes what, a year later? Or LL, what, 85 or 86?
LL was out there. LL was out. LL came out 85.
Yeah, LL was out. 85.
My Virgins, you know, so LL was there, but that was just that. So for whatever reason, I didn't hear from Slick Rick for several years after that. Like, it was Lottie Dottie in the show, and I don't know what happened. I don't know where he was in 86.
But I know in 87 he came out with a song called Treat It Like a Prostitute and The Ruler's Back. Oh my God.
Oh man. This is gonna be interesting when we start talking about the Great Adventures of Slick Rick album.
So these were two singles that he dropped. This was before the Great Adventures of Slick Rick, but they were two singles that ended up being on the Great Adventures of Slick Rick. It was The Ruler's Back and Treat It Like a Prostitute. Just treating a girly well. Yo, so Slick Rick, this is the beginning of the storytelling Slick Rick. Slick Rick, that's why people consider him like the great storyteller, because he was telling these ill stories.
That whole album, man.
So let me just say this. The Great Adventures of Slick Rick is one of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time in terms of this.
Five mic certified classic.
The impact of it. Let me just tell you how real it was. It lasted two proms. In my junior year, it was the prom anthem. I went to the prom my senior year. We were still playing The Great Adventures of Slick Rick. It went two prom. This album was, it was everything, man. I remember we used to just listen to everything. Indian Girl,
We're doing a disservice to Indian Girl, man. Listen, Slick Rick, I got an ass whooping because of listening to Indian Girl, my dude. Listen, you got to understand, I'm a shorty at this time, and to hear the descriptive lyrics of a girl's vagina at the time, this and the third, was very wild to me. And this is why, like Sean alluded a second ago, his storytelling, he is top three. Is he not in storytelling?
He's top in storytelling in terms of how he impacted storytelling. So I would say there were guys who became more lyrical and could tell maybe a better story. But in terms of his impact on storytelling, it's number one. He's like a pioneer of storytelling. Other rappers have become great storytellers, but he is a pioneer. I'm going to give him the Jackie Robinson Award for storytelling, whereas Willie Mays was better than Jackie Robinson, but Jackie Robinson pioneered the game by being, you know what I'm saying? So, Children's Story, one of the greatest beats of all time. One of the greatest beats of all time.
Yeah, they still play Children's Story till this day on the radio, my dude. Till this day. I'll flip through some 96.5 out here in Florida, and they play You Hear Children's Story. It's crazy. And didn't Mos Def, I think, on the Black Star album, did he not do his version of Children's Story, and then Snoop did a version of Lottie Dottie on his album? Crazy.
Yes, he did. Children's Story, I used to watch MTV Raps praying they would play the video for Children's Story. I would pray. Uncle Ricky, and you see him up there. It was just... I mean, words can't describe the impact of Slick Rick, man. And now, mind you, now, peep this. When The Great Adventures of Slick Rick came out, Kane, Rakim, EPMD, KRS, they was all popping. Stetsonics, they was all popping. They all had bangers. Slick Rick held his own, and everybody respected him.
Hold on. I got to say this, too. I got to say this. Random. Big Daddy Kane, man. Slick Rick really had you looking like a sucker in that Teenage Love video, man. Neither here nor there. But, man, you looking like a sucker, man. And wasn't Lil' Kim in that video also?
I don't know. I don't know if Lil' Kim was in that video. But let me just tell you how impactful that video was. I was in high school. I'm a junior in high school. When we saw that video, yo, you seen the way Slick Rick act like he was going to do something to Kane? Yo. Like, it was such a big deal. It was such a big deal that Kane was in that video, man. It was such a big fucking deal because that's all we talked about, man. Ralph McDaniel's Video Music Box, you know what it is, man. We ain't have cable, man. Brooklyn did not have cable in 88. You had to have a satellite. That's how real it was. So I had to watch Channel 31 with the antenna flow. You know what that's about, right? Right, Dre? Let them know how real it was.
Man, live in the second floor, nigga. That shit was real, son.
Get Video Music Box to come out clear, you was the hero on your block.
You was that nigga. That's a real talk.
If you could get that channel to come out clear, this is antenna era. We was analog back then.
You know what I'm saying?
Word.
If you could get Channel 31, oh my God, you was
that
life
nigga.
Was good. Word, word. But let me just be very clear. My favorite Slick Rick song of all time is Mona Lisa. It's my personal favorite Slick Rick song of all time. That's just me. I love that.
Which
song,
one,
man?
Mona
Lisa.
Song?
Mona
Lisa, yeah.
Mona Lisa
was
Lisa.
Big.
That's my personal all time favorite Slick Rick song.
You didn't like Kit?
I just didn't like Kit. I liked Kit. What are you talking about? I liked Kit. Yo, I got that second album, The Ruler's Back. I got that album.
Before you go to the second album, man, how are we going to forget about Hey Young World, man? That song is still relevant to this day.
And let me say something to all you guys who wanted, why Nas has a song called No Ideas Original. Ja Rule 50, Drake, and every other single motherfucker in hip hop. Slick Rick sang. He sang on Hey Young World.
He harmonized.
There is nothing new and innovative about anything going on in hip hop. And it hasn't been that way for a long time. I know to a lot of you young people, y'all are like, nah, Drake is melodic. He harmonizes. He knows how to do it. Are you guys kidding me, man? Are you serious? So The Great Adventures of Slick Rick.
You say you like that second album. I don't know. Was the Art of Storytelling or some shit like that?
No, man. Hell no. I shouldn't have done it. Remember? I shouldn't have did it. Remember
the
Slick Rick
was
good.
He got locked up and had a video with the lookalike nigga. Yeah.
That was way before the Art of Storytelling. Listen, by the time the Art of Storytelling, it wasn't there. But the impact, I'm going to tell you how real it was. The impact of Slick Rick was everybody was waiting for a second album. He happened to be in jail when it came out. And it was because of the impact of him being in jail, man, it just didn't work. He just wasn't there. He couldn't promote it. But I'm going to be real with y'all. I played that second album. I played it, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I played it.
Can't say I was fucking
album.
With it too much, my G.
I did.
Can't say
I
was fucking
nigga.
With it too much,
it.
My nigga.
I did. I understand it, but I did. But I did. I used to love him. We love Slick Rick so much that we forced ourselves to fuck with that second album and forced ourselves to like it just because it was Slick Rick. Like, fuck
nah.
Slick Rick, we just going to play.
I feel you on
like,
that.
That's what we did. I know that. I remember that. We played that shit like, man, like this is the shit and what about it? You know what I'm saying? Big impact on Ghostface. Big impact on Raekwon. Like, they love Slick Rick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
Slick
facts.
Ghostface especially,
my nigga.
Ghostface has a song with Slick Rick on one of his albums, man, and I love that song.
Bulletproof Wallets.
Wasn't that song dope, man? I really like that song.
Yeah, I like that joint, yeah. And I'm pretty sure if a nigga like Ghostface, who looked up to Slick Rick, he was so happy to... You know, have Ricky on our album and shit. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Another thing, Slick Rick did a song with Outkast. Slick Rick had an impact on Outkast. Outkast understood his impact. So just to let you know he's just not New York. Big impact on legendary Snoop Doggy Dogg. Clearly, he had an impact on Outkast. Because I would like to know how did that happen? How did y'all get Slick Rick? Y'all got a song with Slick Rick. What was that about? Why'd y'all get with him? That shows me they were clearly fans of Slick Rick. So Slick Rick in the West, and he damn sure impacted me and you.
Like
Great Adventures
of course,
is one of the all-time great hip-hop albums of all time. Of all time.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect, but I like The Great Adventures of Slick Rick better than any Drake album. No disrespect.
That's not disrespect, my nigga. That's not no fucking disrespect. What the hell you mean disrespect?
The reason why, because Drake is like the biggest rap star since 2009. 09 to 16. You know what I'm saying? 09 to 17.
Why is Aubie getting burned like this, B? Why is he
getting
burned?
Sidebar. Hoodie Mello's team is winning against the New York Knicks. Sidebar.
They should. Porzingis is not playing tonight. Sidebar.
And I'm watching the game. Sidebar.
Okay. Okay, sorry, bro. All right. That's our Slick Rick appreciation. I want to get another one in here, man. I'm going left field to see how we're going to do this one. I'm going to go to two producers. Yes. Appreciation for producers this one. Two producers we're going to talk about. One is from the West Coast, and one is from the East Coast. And a lot of times when you talk about your top five producers all the time, sometimes a lot of guys will have these two individuals in their top five. First, I'm going to first individual I will talk about. He was born in Texas, even though he represents New York, but he has Texas roots. One of the greatest producers of all time. We did a P-Rock and CL Smooth appreciation. We even did an appreciation for the guy he produced. R.I.P. to my man Guru. I say DJ Premier. You say what, my G?
One of the greatest producers of all time, and he played a major part of the soundtrack to the 90s to me. I will say this, just, and I don't want to hurt anybody, make anybody upset. DJ Premier's production had a bigger impact on me than Dr. Dre's production. And that's a big statement because Dr. Dre.
Is that a coastal thing, though? Is that because of a coastal thing, because you're born in New York City?
Well, that must be. It has to be that way. But it's not like I didn't listen to what Dre produced. He produced one of the greatest albums of all time, The Chronic. He produced another one of the greatest albums of all time in Doggy Style. But DJ Premier,
And I'm going to throw this out also. N.W.A. Niggas for Life album. I think Dr. Dre does not get enough props. I don't think N.W.A. as a whole, not to go on a tangent right quick, niggas will talk about N.W.A.'s first album, Straight Outta Compton, as you should. But when Cube left that group, man, the funny thing about Cube and N.W.A. is people thought Ice Cube was not going to survive without having Dr. Dre beat, and having an N.W.A. sound. People also thought when Cube left N.W.A., who was going to hold it down? MC Ren does not get enough props to me for holding down that N.W.A. Niggas for Life album. And I got to say, Dr. Dre was amazing on that album.
I 100% agree with everything you said. 100,000% agree. Now I'm going to go wide to Primo, because this is a Primo appreciation. Not only did Primo produce in that decade of the 90s four immaculate produced gangster albums just off of production, he also produced a Group Home album, and he produced a J-Wu album. That the beats on these albums were mind-blowing beats.
Now, my nigga, you can't tell me, my nigga, Living Proof. Can we just highlight Living Proof? Is that one of Premier's? That's one of my favorite beats by DJ Premier. Group Home, Living Proof album.
Here's the thing. DJ Premier was so great.
Jesus Christ.
DJ Premier was so great. He was so great. You can't say this is my favorite Premier beat, because then I'll say, is it? And then I'll say,
yeah, that's
right.
True. That's true.
What did you think about Nas Is Like? What did you think about I Gave You Power? Or what did you think about The Mall? Like, if we talk about his gangstar,
this nigga said The Mall. That niggas don't know about The Mall, man. Yo, G Dep, my nigga G Dep verse on The Mall, man. I'm gonna just leave it as that guy, though.
Okay, what about his beat on the song with Crumb Snatcher? Come on.
Yo, Crumb Snatcher. Yo, I'm going to keep it tall, man. I forgot the name of that song on Moment of Truth, but Crumb Snatcher's verse is ignorant to spread it through the streets. Like it was cancer. That nigga was spazzing on there. Crumb Snatcher's verse.
That was one of the best verses of 1998. The year Capital Punishment came out, the year Black Star came out, the year Demon came out. Crumb Snatcher verse, off of the Primo beat against any verse written in 1998. That's how dope that verse was.
What's the name of the song, OB?
Make 'em pay.
Make 'em pay.
Make 'em pay.
Make 'em pay. Bacon Bay, yo, Crumb
Bird. What do you think about the production?
Yo, y'all niggas, yo, Common Boys, real quick. Pause the show for a second. Go to YouTube. Put Gangstar, Make 'Em Pay song, right? I'm not taking nothing away from Guru's verse. Listen to Crumb Snatch's verse, my niggas. Then come back and holler at me and Sean.
Now, this is where DJ Premier just really leaves the stratosphere. He has production on the three MCs we argue all day about, Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas. So when Ho says who's the best MC, Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas, you can literally go to Premier's beats for each MC, and then you debate who's the best MC. Because they gave it to you on his beats. Just think about
scratches,
that.
The scratches are unbelievable. The scratches are unbelievable. At the end of the unbelievable, the scratches that Premier does is just five mics to me, man. I just got to throw that in. I'm sorry.
You know,
I just thought about
thing,
that.
And here's another thing. And here's another thing that Premier gets no credit for. The man scratches and cuts on his production. That is real. That is DJ. Like, he's still a DJ on his produced songs. He's still DJing. That's what a DJ does. They scratch. He does that. And he samples hip-hop. So he's a hip-hop historian. Let me tell you something. DJ Premier is real. He's the real hip-hop historian. You want somebody digging in the crates? I mean, this man is phenomenal. So,
yo. Is it safe to say he sampled Prodigy's voice and out of anybody's voice he's looped up or sampled or looped up and shit? Prodigy's voice on a lot of songs, man, on The Evils, a lot of songs he took P's voice and just freaked it.
The reason why, because P had the illest, most sinister voice in hip hop. That's just how it was, man. You know, R.P. Prodigy, but Prodigy had one of the
R.P. motherfucking Prodigy, man. Shit.
You know what I'm saying? When DJ Premier, I mean, just think about this. DJ Premier had production on Reasonable Doubt, and It Was Written, and they both came out at the same time. And, you know, I gave
Ready to
you
die.
Power. I gave you power. Is one of my favorite. Like, I will argue to you, what's the best now? Is it I Gave You Power? Is it Nas Is Light? Is it New York State of My Part 2? I mean,
yo,
come on.
Let's take it there. New York State of Mind Part 1 beat or New York State Part 2 beat?
Oh, my God. Do you know why that's so difficult? Because Nas, like, it's New York State of Mind is like an all-time great song. But if you really listen to New York State of Mind Part 2, that's an ill beat. And Nas is just zoning off of that shit. Like, yo, New York State, that's a question for the comment boys, man. New York State of Mind Part 1, New York State of Mind Part 2. Primo produced both.
I got Part 2,
Primo produced Nas Is Like. What did you think about that beat for Nas Is Like?
Yeah,
that
beat was sick. Retarded.
Okay, let's get to some Hov production. What's your favorite Primo Hov collabo?
The Evils. You could say So Ghetto on Jay's fourth album. Oh, The Evils though, my nigga. I like Friend of Foe too though. And I like
Whoa.
A Million. The Premier. A Million was fire too though.
I'm looking at that. Now to me, A Million. Like, I feel A Million should have been a 4-3 verse Jay-Z song. A Million, like that, like A Million is my shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is where highlights where Primo is just so fantastic, because he's with Hov, Big, and Nas, man. Like, come on, like him on the 10 Crack Commandments. And here's another thing, and this is no disrespect. Hov, why did you stop fucking with Primo? After So Ghetto, man, you didn't fuck with him when you went into the 2000s.
Yeah, he did. He did.
You went a different way.
To be fair now, I've heard through interviews that Premier works at his own pace. It's hard, you know. Premier sometimes will get the get you a beat at the last minute type shit. I think Diddy said a story about Premier getting the beat for Big. I think it was 10 Crack Commandments and shit. Premier told the story, pardon me, on DJ Vlad shit. He talked about that shit, about how, you know, Big was mad at him and shit. And it took him so long to, you know, get him a beat and shit. So sometimes Premier works at his own pace, you know? That's from the stories I've seen on YouTube throughout the years.
Well, the only thing I can say is, I don't know how I feel about that, because the man was producing full albums of Gangstar. He was giving full production to
M.O.P. And M.O.P. Oh. That nigga blessed M.O.P.
Crazy. So, my God. Did he not bless M.O.P.? Did he not bless it? Did he do Stick to Your Guns? Was that pre-roll?
Bless them niggas,
yes,
lovely,
it was!
Son.
Oh,
lovely.
My God. Stick to Your Guns went off.
They had a great, yo, my nigga. See, niggas will go, oh, besides Guru, oh, Nas sounds good on Premier Beats, or Jay sounds good on Premier Beats, or Big. But M.O.P. is right there with them niggas, B. Them niggas is right there with Nas and them when it comes to rapping on Premier Beats and getting fire primo beats.
Stick to Your Guns is one of my favorite songs of all time. M.O.P. blessed the primo beat. It's why when we did the Pete Rock appreciation, I said Premier was better only because I felt Premier did more work and he had more iconic moments. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I agree.
I mean, just think about it. Every single song he's ever done with Big, Nas, or Jay are arguably their best songs. That's why Premier is fantastic. You know, people will say, Kicking the Door and Ten Crack Commandments. Fire
Kicking
song.
The door.
You just named the Kicking evil, the friend of foe. So get
who did Long Kiss Goodnight?
Who did Long Kiss Goodnight? He didn't do
Long Kiss Goodnight. I'm bugging.
He didn't do Long Kiss Goodnight. But, I mean, and then when you go to Nas, let's go to Illmatic. Memory Lane.
State
of Mind. Represent.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Those are fire. Memory Lane.
Primo, yo, let me tell you something. They had top-notch producers for that album. Premier got majority of the work. Or got more work than a lot of other producers on that album.
Well, by that time, Premier was a superstar. Didn't Premier do Dwick? We didn't even make it Dwick.
Oh, no. This nigga said Dwick. Code of the Streets. Mass Appeal. Take it, my nigga. Hold on. I got one for you. Take It Personal. The scratches on Take It Personal. Out of here.
Take It Personal. Wait a minute. Take It Personal. I'll give you another one. What about the beat for Justin Timberlake?
Who?
Doom, doom, just to get a rap.
Just to get a rap.
Doom, 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 doom,
doom. That shit was smooth and jazzy, boy. That shit was smooth and jazzy.
I love Premier, and let me tell you, and let me fast forward to the modern era so you guys could understand. One of my favorite albums of the last 5 years is the album he did with Royce da 5'9", the Prime album. I thought it was a great collaboration. And it was great because Royce da 5'9" is an all-time great MC. And Premier hit him with Uncut Royce.
Boom. What about Boom, my nigga? Royce da 5'9", Boom.
Boom.
Premier. I mean, Boom was... Oh,
Boom.
Nigga.
Matter of fact, he gave Lady of Rage fire on Lady of Rage.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He gave Lady of Rage fire. My original take on Premier was this. He had a big impact on Dr. Dre, and that's killing niggas. Because I know niggas like, how could you put anybody over Dr. Dre? Easy. And it's not difficult.
The difference.
Listen.
Well, hold on. The difference between Premier and Dre is Dre beats sound like some stadium glorious shit, while Premier shit sounds filthy, dirty nails, underground, DOS effects in the sewer type shit. You know what I mean? Come clean for Jay with a damager, man. It's like ridiculous, bro. You know?
Yo, my man. You said come clean?
Yeah.
You're making the case.
You're making the case for me. My man, here's the thing. We're talking about iconic, all-time great hip-hop songs that he produced. So I'm just talking about me from a
professional. What about Common? What about Common, The Sixth Sense?
Another one. I mean, come on, my man. Like to me, and I'm saying it's personal. Did he have the success
the
of Dre? No.
What about The Locks? None of y'all better and recognize.
Ain't none of y'all better than Locks recognize. Here's the thing. We about to break this Primo beat down like we bought it. Remember that? Would that not overtake the personal?
Worse, man.
Are you kidding me? Big L, rest in peace, said on the Tony Touch 59 freestyle. He's bothered with 10 Tech Commandments. Wow.
Words.
Crooked Eye, when Crooked Eye did his original Hip Hop Weekly, he rapped over several DJ Premier pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Several,
mm-hmm.
Not just one. 10 Crack Commandments, take it personal. So, this is not no disrespect to Dr. Dre when I say Primo, to me, did me more. The songs that he did, they were just in more of my rotation. Remember, I listened to Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas. And if I listened to Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas, I was listening to Primo, man. Just facts on facts on facts. You know, I'm going to put it this way. Primo was best producer of the 90s, hands down. Hands down. And there were some great producers.